Okay, here we are in Daf Ayin Vav. Yom Sheni. Behima. Shenechtechura lea min harkuva ulamata kshira. Min harkuva ulamala psula. Vachem shenitah tzomasakim. The real problem that we have over here is that the area of the tendons is considered to be central for treifas. The truth is that our main focus here is on the tendons themselves, not even on the tendons, but on the tzomet aginim. The tzomet aginim means the area where the tendons are wrapped together. And the truth is there are places where there's literally a tzomet aginim, in the sense that there's a band of cartilage that binds together a number of important tendons. There's many different ways of understanding the concept of tzomet. We'll see as we go why they might be considered to be in tzomet haginim in different ways. Now the problem is that obviously when there are tendons, and there's going to be tendons on every joint, and it's difficult to define precisely what is called here the tzomet haginim. When it says min arkuva, we don't know what an arkuva means, because an arkuva in Hebrew simply means a bendable joint. It could be referring to the ankle, it could be referring to the knee. And that also will have to be mavar. What's really strange, if you pointed this out before, is that on a cow, the knee is completely covered. And what looks like the knee, which is this piece halfway up, what looks like halfway up the leg of a cow, is actually the ankle bone. This long bottom leg is the human foot. This with the bones elongated. And therefore it's very confusing because you can't even see the arkuva. However, in a camel, if you'll notice, it's very obvious that this is the knee, and this is just, as I'm pointing over here on page 90, this is clearly the knee, in human terms, and this is the ankle. On a cow, you can see how easy it is to get confused, because it doesn't seem to be any other knee but this one, because this one is really an ankle. Now, either of them can be called the arkuva. And the truth is, the lower arkuva is called the arkuva nimkeret im harosh, because usually this is poor quality for making gelatin and stuff like that. So it's sewn together with the head. Whereas the arkuva, this is called the arkuva helyona, is already part of the major part of the body. Obviously, in both places, you're going to have tendons, since these are movable limbs, and there's muscles that are attached to the bones with these tendons. And so, we shall discuss which one is being referred to. And for that matter, even if you didn't cut off the leg, you simply remove the tzomet haginim or cut through the tzomet haginim, that would also be the same. Nishbar ha'etzem, if the bone was broken, not cut from the outside. So imrov habasar kayam, if most of the muscle is okay, then shkitato metaharato. The shkita of the animal is metar it, and it's mutter to eat it. But im lav in shkitato metaharato, if not, shkita is not metar it. Even in a case, we'll see what these cases are in the Gemara, even in a case where the behemoth itself may not be a treifa because it's a broken bone, as the tzomet haginim is intact, but the limb itself is considered to be an Avraham Adul-Dal, it's hanging loose, being as it can't be cured once most of the muscle is torn together with the bone ripped out and jutting out. So therefore, the aver itself is not kosher because that's still an aver in a hide. The animal may be kosher. So that we'll see what the cases are. But in shvitato metarato, certainly the aver is not going to become mutter la'achila. All right, so let's clarify before we begin that we have three separate major bones here. The large bone that goes, the thigh bone, basically the femur bone, which goes into the hip, which is not visible at all in a cow. It's completely covered by skin. The skin of the outside skin of the cow goes all the way. Oh, okay. On page 187, you can see very clearly. the different bones. So you have what's called the yarek, which is the femur bone. Then you have what's called the shank, which is the tibia, which is the human, you know, the arm. And then, of course, all of this is only in the back legs, which you mean to the arm, because there's no semitachian problem in front legs. When we say legs, we mean legs. We're referring to front legs, we call them the yadayim. And the elongated foot is what we call the actual bottom, the leg of the, but it's not really accurate, it's really the foot. And it's just an enormously elongated leg. Now,
the back
legs by virtue of the back. Well, yeah, also the right leg, always referred to right leg. And but by the names, in other words, there's no shulk on the front leg. You'll notice that the ankle joint itself is a very complex joint. It has really six different bones in it, as you can see here in the picture. It's quite complex. For the tzurich of the halacha, we're going to treat it a little bit more simplified, because it's really not nageya, all of the bones. There's only a couple of bones that are important. But the truth is, it's quite complex. Get a good picture here on page 91 that shows you where this is the ankle that you see over here on 91. Here's the entire thing for the outside. We'll worry about what's what later. You have a very large tendon that comes down here, which actually you can see on page 93. It looks almost like a bone. And there's three different tendons here. One very large one, two smaller ones, which according to some modern shitas is actually Rashi's shot in the Tzomas Hagidim itself. Which makes a lot of sense later on in the sugya, as we'll see. Because this really is a Tzomet, and there's one large and two small, which is the way it's described later. Although, the partial way throughout all the generations that we refer to the tendons here on the right, there's also a large and two small. Well, this, the large here is a reference to this part of the bone. What's that?
The other ones were just up to the foot.
No, both of them. They're both here. You could see over here how they all. Then, of course, there's also tendons in the front, which is the right of the trap. So I said, even Rashi's talking about the back. Obviously, the leg moves in both directions. Okay, so we'll take a look more in detail as we go. Om Rav Yud Om Rav, Om Rav Yishiyah. Lamata, when the Mishnah says Lamata Tshera, it means Lamata Min Ha'arkuva. It means directly after the joint. Doesn't mean underneath the entire bone that goes into the joint, because in a very loose way, you can refer to the entire leg as the arkuva. Because it's the same bone in page. What page was it that you were looking at earlier?
180.
Because you can see that the tibia here, where it hits the femur bone, right. You do not have a complex joint. The actual knee joint over here. We could refer to the entire bone here, the tibia, as an arkuva. So he just wants to make very clear that's not the meaning. It means lamata means directly beneath the joint. Lamala means directly above the joint. You know what joint it's talking about? It's talking about the ankle, not the knee. It's talking about the arkuva. I mean keret im harosh. Ula Amrevosha. Ula says no. It's not what it's referring to. It's referring to the knee, which connecto begamal nikar, which if you have a camel, you can see very clearly what it's referring to. And the cow, you have to take my word for it, but it's there. Omale Ula Rav Yehuda. So Ula Taina to Rav Yehuda, who had been the source of the quote of Rav. Look, the way that I'm explaining it, that it's referring to the knee joint, not to the ankle joint. Liddy Bishling Liddy D, that means a connector begun on the car. Hainu Diktani Vachinchini Plutzotzimatagini. That would explain the mission. The mission is basically talking about two completely different things. In other words, since the Tana had written over here, Lamata Min Harkuva, beneath the knee, is kosher. So you would have thought, okay, that means anywhere beneath the knee is kosher. He now adds, of course, that's not an actual rule because there are also a different psulim, which is the psul of the nitotzonas hagin. So then it's getting to tell me a rather strange thing, that if the leg is cut through in the middle of the tibia, it's kosher. But if it's cut through in the bottom of the tibia, it's not kosher because there it affects the tzonas hagin. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, does it one subsume the other? Fine. But at least it's two different issues. That's why I would have to say the same thing with some of the fact, the way you're learning is a little ridiculous. If lamala means immediately above the ankle, that is the tzom ha-sagidin. So why does it say the same thing with tzom ha-sagidin? Where else is the tzom ha-sagidin? See, according to me, we're talking about two completely different issues. We're talking about a problem in the knee and a cut through the tibia or a cut through the femur. And a separate issue, way down by the ankle, which is its own Sagidian problem. So then the Mishnah is right to separate into two parts. But the way you're learning, it's simply repetition. It's saying above and beneath the ankle bone, which is exactly where the Tzom Sagidim is, directly above the ankle bone. And then it says, and also if you took off the Tzom Sagidim, well, I should hope so, if you cut through the whole thing, if you destroyed the Tzom Sagidim. Why does it say this is a separate issue? On my way, so he said, well, I guess you'll have to understand it as Akuva below Tzoga Tagidim. If you pulled out the joint without affecting the tendons on top, so you left the fascia and the muscles intact, that would be a problem. And then there's a separate problem of the Tzoga Tagidim without affecting the joint. Below our group. Maybe that's why this is separate. So the sense of that, come on, man. It says neftechu. Neftechu is Lashon Rabbim. They were cut through, okay? They were cut through means it cut straight through the tzomus hagidim and the bone. So that if you're telling me that neftach is trade, because certainly if the whole thing is removed, it's trade. I don't know what you mean. Ishti, that's Shalom Rabbim. You know what to do with that. Of course, you only remember what to say after the guy leaves. It's always like that. So the boss said, enough, like after he left, darn it, why didn't I tell him? My type of lo amre, lamata means lamata in our group, but that lamata doesn't mean immediately beneath the knee, because that's not the place of tzomus hagidim, in the ankle. And lamala meaning above the knee and the tzomus hagidim. So if you cut lamala minat tzomus hagidim, or if you cut to the tzomus hagidim, I could have told him that. And normally I'd say, no, I've got nothing. Never would have taken that from me anyway. Because, look, I tried telling him. Muhammad did not give him an answer, and he said, it's not what it says. It says, neftechu katani. So if I would try to tell him this, he would say, nah, no way. It says, arkuva v'lamala. What do you mean it means arkuva the tzomus hagidim v'lamala? No way. It wouldn't have done any good. He's too literal. Anyway, so I don't really have what to tell. Rapapa masni ach. Now Rapapa says it over differently. And he says like this, that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav on Rav Chiya, which was the same quote that we had above, indeed initially said that lamata means lamata min harkuva umitzomat hagidim. And lamala means lamala min hakruva umitzom etagidim. The chen shenita tzomas hagidim. Indeed, all of this is, but according to this approach, the meaning of arkuva gufa kiru'ula omrevoshi. According to this, he was explaining the arkuva as the knee joint and not as the ankle joint. Now, of course, this is a totally different. Oh no, we came all the way. All the way from Beit Kaddish. You I have bad news. I'm not feeling well. But Bush, I'm not going to be able to physically say. I spoke yesterday for like 3 hours straight.
Okay, so I'll just
I'm doing only about filming.
Yeah, both the hearings for nothing.
Yes, wonderful question. Very good.
No, we didn't have
to. Okay, good.
No, I mean, I'm telling you that we did.
All right, so see you again. Or you go have fun with the kids and come back. Because we just started.
Oh, you just started?
Yeah, you just started that show meeting.
So, okay, so I'll say
that. Come back.
I'm going to talk to you also about our session.
So according to this chap, we're now changing our mind. Before we said lamato lamala means immediately lamato lamala, not including the actual tibia bone itself at all, right? The grandma focus between them was whether it's a reference to the ankle or whether it's a reference to the knee. Right? Those were the two focuses that we had earlier. Rupapa, he learns completely different shot. And when it says labata, does not mean immediately beneath. And actually, the meaning of akuva, according to Rupapa's version of Rav Amarav, is that it's a reference really to the knee bones, and when it says arkuva, basically it's a reference to the entire middle bone, the entire tibia, up to the ankle. And what it's telling you is that it really depends. In other words, lamata is lamata from the entire middle bone, the entire tibia, in which if it hits the tzomas hakidim, then It's kosher. If it doesn't, if it's unscathed, it's lamata meaning all the way at the bottom, beneath the ankle. So it would be a reference from the knee down to the ankle. Lamata from the entire bone, it's kosher. Lamala, if it's somewhere in the tibia, over there, it's trefa. And in the actual tibia bone itself, it depends if it's vitotsakasakidit. So basically what it's saying is, all the way on top of the knee, there you have a problem, you cut to the femur bone, trefa. All the way on the bottom, meaning beneath the ankle, under the tibia, there is definitely kosher. In the middle of the tibia, it depends whether it's affected the same as I did, or hasn't affected the same as I did. You already missed everything. Seriously, I don't know whether it's good at this point to start. So, according to this one, we now have basically three different approaches in the Gemara. The first lashon of quoted by Rav Amarav and Rav Pia, in which lamala lamata was a reference to the ankle, and the shaila was whether it's going to affect the same as Hakidim or not. And there we had a problem. So how do you explain the separate wording in the Mishnah of the Chayim to the same as Hakidim? Ula wasn't happy with the way it was worded. And we have an approach that means potential with the tzemes again without affecting the bone.
Right.
There we had Ula as saying it's talking about above the knee, which is the arkuva that's nicker in the camel. It's over here. The actual knee bone, which you don't even see in the cow. It's completely covered. And now we have the third shot. And according to him, the nito tzemes again is a separate reference to the ankle area. Now we have Rufa's shot. That actually seems to incorporate both of the chat and above, which indeed the akuva that we're referring to is the knee, except that when it says lamala lamata, it means lamala lamata from the entire tibia bone, which is the akuva then would be including the whole bone all the way down to the ankle. So if it's beneath it, then it's beneath the ankle itself, it's kosher. Above it, and it cuts through the thigh bone, it's straight. And in the tibia itself, it depends if it affected the same as it is, which is directly above the ankle area. Good? And the truth is, directly above on a large animal, we'll see later on, is really quite a distance, because directly above can extend on the shore for 4 inches to all of it. You have like 4 inches above the joint. It's a lot of space, which could be the same as it is.
4 inches
Well, I mean, it depends which way you're looking at the animal, but height, but above the ankle.
Is it in the picture over here?
It will be. We'll be looking at the...
How big the toe begins to go up here?
Here. These are the different approaches, which we'll see, we'll be getting to. Okay. So the mat is the matam in arkuva umitzometakidim. According to this, it's from the entirety of the bone. The mal is directly above the arkuva, and the tzemes again, which is all the way into the femur bone. And in the tibia itself, ditel tzemesakidim. The definition of the word arkuva, according to the second lashon, is kilula, meaning it's not the arkuva nimkeratim arosh, which is the ankle bone. It's the arkuva, which is connected with the klamon nikr, which is the knee bone. Rav Oshe is very troubled by this because it comes out that if you cut the tibia towards the top, towards the knee, it's kosher. But if you cut through the tibia by the ankle, it's straight. It doesn't make sense. Because if you've cut it by the knee, so you've already included the area that you want to cut by the ankle.
Close to the animal,
worse. Does it make sense to say that the higher you cut it, closer to the thigh bone, it's going to be okay, but the lower you cut it, it's going to not be okay, it's going to die. And of course, we already know the answer to that. Naive question is that? It has nothing to do with these gross effects. There's some effects over here. You can have things which look much worse when you had a case you have a hole in the spleen that's straight. If you remove the spleen, it's kosher. By the way, this is another one of those cases where it's a machlokas we've shown him. As to whether if you cut through the tzemes aginim, where it's straight, can you then cut up above the tibia and make it kosher? That's similar to the question of the spleen. If you have a hole in the spleen, can you now remove the spleen and make it kosher? Do we say that a trefa can be unmade? The Rabban suggests over here that you cannot make it. It's been my focus, which we've discussed many times in the past. Now, what defines the area that we're calling the tzomes hakidim? In other words, what makes it a place of vast sensitivity that we say it could be a it could be, end up making it a trefa just because you've cut through the tzomes hakidim? So, Rabba Omer Rav Asi, you should say, as we'll see later on, the agrima ulavar. Rabba Baravuna Amar Avasi, the Agrama Ulegav. If you take a look in the picture on page 92, you can see how the tendons, again, remember that we've got three different possible pshatim in the area of the Tzomes Aginim. It only shows two on this page for the very simple reason that the Rivet's Tzomes Aginim is on the other side of the leg, and therefore you can't see them here. If you take a look on the next page, on page 93, you can see that according to Rivet, the front part of the leg, on top of the fascia, here they've cut away, actually, the fascia. We have other pictures in which it's present. By the way, also here you get a very beautiful picture of the Rivet's path, of why it's called the Tzemes Aginim. You see what's called over here the extensor on top? Right. That's a band of cartilage that actually makes it so nice. Again, it's matzmita. It ties them together in a ring, and therefore it makes a lot of sense to call this area the tzomet hagidim. Otherwise, we'll have to understand the tzomet hagidim as being simply the place where a lot of gidim happen to come together. That would be the way everybody understands Rashi, generally speaking, which is... you have, even though they're not even connected, you have the large gidim that we see on the left over here together with the smaller gidim on the right. Or, as I mentioned to you, there are those modern Purushim that want to say that according to Rashi, the Tzomes HaGidim is actually not the gidim on the large, the piece of the tibia itself directly above it, but rather on what appears to be almost a bone-like gid, it's so thick, which is the piece that you see to the left, which is really a tzomes, and where you have they're all connected together. The large gid itself is comprised of a number of smaller gid. It makes sense to call that a tzomes. We'll see in the sugya later that indeed there are three gidim that are referred to. There are one large and two small, which is exactly what shows up over here in the picture on 93. A gid here is a tendon. However, a gid can mean a lot of things. By the gid anash, it's a nerve. Up here, it's a tendon. I mean, it simply means a hard, non-bony piece of tissue, which is either, you know, either nerve tissue or it's tendon tissue. Seam, it's called sinews. Yeah, so where are we? Darkuma. So the Avrama Ulegav. So the Shaila over here is whether it's the upper area. In other words, there's a place at which the Gidim come up on top of the bone. Obviously the place where they have to be attached is onto the joint itself, because they pull the bone. Then on the top, they're connected to the muscle. The muscle pulls at the gid, the gid is attached to the bone like a pulley system, right? So the question is whether is it where it's all the way up on top, the agrama olivar, or where it's getting connected to the bone, which is legav, so that it's inside. That's a machlokas. How far up does it go? And Rabba Baravuna Maravas agrama legav, and Rabba Bray the Rabba Baravuna Omaravasi. The ilui arkuma, actually the part that's directly on top of the bone called the arkuma bone, which is where it's mamish attached, that's where it pulls on, which is what's called over here the talus, on the joint itself, one of the six bones of the joint, which is like really a chumra at that point, because there already it's not connected to the muscles and so on, it's only bone, and that's why not everybody was ready to accept that. And Omar le Rababa, lo tatsitele, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain over there, Ach Yom Rav Yuda, hecha da pare kafre. It's got to be the place where the tabachim cut it open. Most learn the pshat of hecha da pare kafre has nothing.
Did we skip the line?
Did I?
Do we have the essay about it? Did we skip this?
Sorry? Oh, sorry. Yeah. I thought that's what I was referring to. Yosef, come gufa. Actually, it means the arkuma itself, which is what I was referring to. And Rababa, the arkuma is this bone over here. It's a bone itself. And at that point, also the way the Ravid learns it, the difference is where it's become hidden inside. In other words, it's no longer going along the top, but it's now gone into the tissue where it's becoming attached to the bone. And there already shouldn't be the tzomes agidi. So enough kanami, he said, pay no attention to him because that's too much of a chumra. But actually, the thing to remember is the place where the tabachim open up. Now, there's two approaches to this. Most of it means where the tabachim start skinning the animal. So that's the place where it's easy to pull off the skin. Rashi's own shot seems to be where the tabachim begin to cut at the flesh that's above the joint, because the area near the joint itself is bare, basically, of muscle. It's only gidim. So the mokum shapari tafi is called the tzemes hagidim. Vahainu derava brei derava baravuna. That's the same Amravashi. That's the same, basically, as the pshat that we quoted before. Here you see why it shouldn't say Ravashi before. It's Ravashi. Amrav Yeromashmu. Tzomet hagidim shamru makom shagidim tzotim. It's the place where the gidim come together. V'yad kama, and how far does it extend? Amlehu min rabbanon v'rav Yaakov shmei. Kiyavina be Rav Yehuda. When I used to learn by Rav Yehuda, Omar Lani would tell us, Shimumeni milta de migaver rabba shmieli. I want you to hear clearly from me a Kabbalah that I had from a great man. I'm referring to Shmuel. Rav Yehuda learned both by Rav and by Shmuel. Tzomes Hagidim, Sha'omru, is the place that the Gidim Ritzom Zimbo, which is closer to the bar, obviously, Makokas Rashi and arrived over here. Umi Makom Shitzomtim Ad Makom Shemitpashtim, and from the place where they're literally together until the place that they spread apart, they go into the muscles. The Kama, how long is that? Rabbi Arba Badati Betura. In a shor, large animal, it's 4 etzvaot. In a small animal, bedakamai, omrabaye, it depends, basically. If it's belite, and it's tzomas agidim. So if you can see they're sticking out, the tendons are sticking out on top of the bone, you can see them basically in your own arm when you make a muscle. That's called the tzomas agidim. Belite, once they've been absorbed into the muscle, then they're not called tzomas agidim. Other indications are the ashuni, or tzomas agidim, where they're tough and hard. They're called the tzomas agidim. That's as they get closer to the bone. Where they're closer to the muscle, they're softer. You can push into them. You can feel them. You can feel them being pushable. So rikiki, that's not called the tzomas agidim. Alimi, abi tzomas agidim. They're thick. They're called the tzomas agidim. Again, it's as they're getting closer to the makom of their tibur. Ketini lo havitzomas agidim, and if you're dissecting them, chibri havitzomas agidim. If they're whitish, they're called tzomas agidim. Lo chibri, when they already have more of a meaty look, that's not called tzomas agidim. Rabbi Ravashi, even the zivi afagam the lo chibri, when they start getting a little bit clear, even though they're not mamish white, that's still considered to be white. So there's a middle part where they begin taking on the clearer look of a non-fleshy tendon. That's what's being referred to. It doesn't mean literally they have to be white. Omra Mema Mishmeder Zvi Tlasa Chute Havi. There are three chutim here. Chara Mima, one is thick, betray katini, and two are thin. Again, that works out very well when we put a modern Shadadashi. But the same thing is true. If you take a look at the rivet on the front part of the leg, you could say the same thing. You have one thick, too thin, according to the other Pshat and Rashi also. So you have the thick one, which is over here on the left, and then you have the two smaller ones that come down there.
That whole thing on the left is just to get
very thick. So the din is, depends if what was cut. If sikat limi, so if you cut through the thick one, then rov of the binyan is kaput. If sikatini, if both thinner ones are cut, then you've got rov minyan, which is kaput. Whereas Marbar Ravashi says just the opposite. It's actually a kula. If sikalima, if the thicker one is torn, and at least you have rov minyan is maksha. If sikatini, if the thinner ones are both cut, you still have rov minyan, in which case it will be kosher one way or the other. But ofos, when it comes to birds, it's a lot more complicated. And over there you have 16 different chutim, and if even one of them is pasi chad minay or treifa, but Tosis points out, this is not one of the things that we would list as being more chomer by birds, but the reason that ipsik chad minay is because all of them will then basically fall apart. That's very, very difficult to trace what is meant precisely by the 16. If you take a look on page 94, actually, lahalaka, the Rama Paskas, we don't really know what is meant exactly by the 16. But there are 16 on a gross level when you cut it open. There's nowhere near 16. It's only when you start cutting the tendons themselves and you notice that the tendons themselves are sometimes comprised of two or three separate tendons that are banded together, then you can get the 16. You can also get the more than 16. So because of that, difficult to define precisely. We're very machmir about the tzomas agidim, and unfortunately, today the tzomas agidim has become so prevalent. Most doctors think that the problem is the way that the chickens are fed. They're fed, first of all, they're missing certain vitamins in the feed, and also they're fed to get very fat very quickly. So the leg does not develop rapidly enough to keep up with the weight of the bird. And because of that, there's often problems in the tzomas agidim. if some even, if some modern poskim were even tiny, that it's so prevalent that it's, you don't even have a robe anymore that you can rely on. It's certainly a via panitza, and you should be mechuyev to check every single bird for the same thing. You know, there are a lot of people that are makbid. And you often find, when you buy a bird, you often find problems. This would be what we would call the polka. The bottom of the polka, it looks bloody. You find like a blood stain. And that often is an indication that there's been a problem at the Tzomas Hagim area. And there you for sure, you really do have to check it. And you need a real mumcha to be able to check it to make sure nothing is cut. And even though the area on the bird is quite small, in practical terms, because the tendons are under pressure, a tendon will often snap up. If you cut the tendon on the bottom, it can be pulled up. And if it's pulled up, then it's easy to make the mistake of thinking that that's not part of the tumor again, because it's up on top near the muscle. But it really was originally mechuber to the bone. So you can't do this bedika on your own, because it's very easy to make a mistake. You have to have a real room for you. Once you've got a problem, once you've got a blood spot in that area, you have to have serious issues. You either throw out the bird or take it to somebody who really knows what he's doing.
Is this in particular with chickens also? Turkeys?
I don't have turkeys, and I don't know, but I've seen it all. I'm sure it's, it must be probably a list of turkeys, but I rarely see it, the whole turkey. But I imagine it's the same in all of the IFAs. I never saw any distinction made in the pasting between all the agency IFAs. IFAs, especially in Israel nowadays, are mostly turkeys. Okay, so in the oath, it's much more complex. Omar Barbar of Hashi, Avekaim na kameda Abba. It's interesting that I was standing by Abba, by Ravashi. They brought a bird for him to check. Ubodak the Ashkach Bachamesar. He only found 15 tendons instead of 16. He's getting a little nervous over this. But have shoni mechavri. One of them looked thicker than the rest. Naftze opened it up. Ashkach Treni discovered there was actually two Gidim that were connected to each other. And of course, this is a hint to the whole matzah that we have today. In the Tzomas HaGidim, where many of them are joined. Omer Tzomas HaGidim She'amru Berubo. When we talk about the Tzomas HaGidim, we're referring to Rove of the Tzomas HaGidim that was ruined. My Rubo, what do you mean when you say Rove? Rove Echad Mehem. It means one Rove of even one of the Gidim. When I said this over, Shmuel, he said to me, that doesn't make sense to me. You've got three gidim in an animal, we're referring to in a mammal. Even if one was completely cut, you still have two. So taima, the ikatrei. You see, he's only timing that you have two. Lekatrei, lo, if you wouldn't have two, for sure you wouldn't be able to rely on it. But that argues on Rav Noi. The Omer Rav Noi Omer Shmuel, Tzemes Aginim Afilu L'Nishtayr Be'la Kechuta Sarbal Kshera. Even if in the Tzemes Aginim you only have enough to be the equivalent of Kechuta Sarbal, Kechuta Sarbal we still see nowadays in sweatpants. They often have Kechuta Sarbal. Kechuta Sarbal is a chut that you put through instead of a belt, either in a collar or a shirt. So it's where you tie, or sometimes you have it in pajamas, where you can tie something where a string goes through a little rim, and that holds it together. So it's just sort of a thicker piece of wool. And that would be sufficient. Mashma that you don't need two. All you need is a chuta sarbal. The ikari, now the other lashon has my ruvo, rov kol achad v'achad. Actually means rove of each one of the three. And that's what Ravashi said. So Kyamritik Amida Shmuel Omele, he said to me, what's the problem? Mirpe Tlasahar, if you've got three chut, so Aika Tilsitokochad, even if you have rove of each one, you have a shlish of each one that's not broken. In which case altogether you still have one. which is basically Misayel El Rav Noy in this Lashon. It's a riot, Rav Noy Omer Shmuel. Rav Noy Omer Shmuel, same as Aginim Shamru, Afil and Lo Nishtair by Elekav Chuta Sarval, Kshem over here, Amin of Chuta Sarval on each one. We have a thin Chuta Sarval, Tosu enough, you don't literally need Rove. By the way, what's really interesting here is what we're doing over here is we're combining Rove of one with the problem of Rove of how many there are. So let's get, can you combine? The question is, can you say Rove of two? No, if you're saying Rove, then it would have to be Rove of each one. So there's a general approach. You don't say two Roves. In other words, you don't say Ruba Shalachat Kamohu of a Rove of what there is. Let's say you only have three. Don't say, well, if Rove of the three would be Torn, and therefore even Rove of each one of the two of the three. So that's combining Ruba Shalachat Kamohu twice. This has a lot to do also with another very similar question which comes up by Hadassi. The Mishnah Berurah has a whole shaila about whether you can rely on Hadassim, where you have Rove of the Hadass is covered as Mishulash. But the part that's Mishulash, you only have two out of the three that's left. So can you rely on the excuse that we're talking about Gardumoy? It's left over now. Started off kosher. Now it starts falling. It says, okay, as long as you have Rove, it's kosher. Shaila is, how about in the Rove that's left, you only have Rove of each one? Can you say Rove of each one plus makes it a Rove, and now you have Rove of the entire part? So the middle, you have two Roves. They bring a riot from this sugya. If you can't say Rove to be the possum at the chomer, you're suddenly going to say Rove to be machshir. Oh, it's Yonama. I'm so sorry that I'm not going to get my published today. I'm so sorry. I'm barely getting to the dot. I'm going on one cylinder here. But it's mamish, it's interesting. I love it when you have like one sugya. It has to do with a mamish, something that appears, although we already saw that Simone Treifis by the Esrig is very common. Right? As we talked about the similarity, they both come from the same sherish, which is Torah Yosef. But so we had all the shaylas, the Esrig that turned with Kahina Sumka, the same thing as the long. Nishbahet. Omar Rav. So now, what it says in the Mishnah is that if you weren't chotek the etzem, you broke the etzem. Shaila is now the etzem has broken through the muscle. It's jutting out. The shaila is whether the muscle is kaya, most of the muscle is kaya, or not.
So it's not the same as
the Dildo. No, it is. If most of it is not kaya, it's considered to be an Abram and Dildo. The Mishnah says, in which case Shkita will not be Matayra. Why? Because it remains an Abram and Achai, and Abram and Achai is Matamik and Avail. So the Shaila is like this over here. It doesn't talk about what happened in Tzomas Hagidim. Before we had Nechtak with Nechtak with Tzomas Hagidim, over here it just says Nishparat. Imroba Basar Kaim Shkita Matayras. Imroba Shkita Matayras. It doesn't tell us the relationship of Nishparat to the place on the leg. Where is Nishparat? Omarav, Lemala min Arkuva, Imrova Basar Kayam, Zevzemuta, Imlav, Zevzasur. If you have a break in the bone, which is above the joint, touched by the tennis I give you, over there, if most of the muscle is intact, so fine, then the animal is kosher, and the limb is considered to be kosher, Mishkita's Matai. But, if not, if most of the muscle is torn, the animal is also awesome. So Zev is awesome. If it's Lamatim and Arkuvas, it didn't affect the Tzomas Hagidim. So there, Imrov Abosar Kayim Zev is Emutar. But even if most of the muscle was torn, the Aver is the only thing that becomes awesome. The Vehim is Mutar because it didn't affect the Tzomas Hagidim. Meanwhile, Aver awesome. Vehim Mutars. Maskevlar of Nachman. The Shmuel, Rav Nachman, Tanya to Shmuel against this psak. He said, what's going on? Yomru Abram imena mutal ba'ashpa mutaret. What's the chat? You're going to tell me that you have an aver that is ossers. Okay, so you cut off that aver and you throw it into the garbage pail. No, enough people going to be eating the animal. They're going to say, what's going on over here? Isn't that definitely trace? I don't understand what are you tithing? Oh, I skipped Shmuel, I'm sorry. This is all reference to, I'm not telling you, I'm not pushing emphasis. Shmuel, I'm a bain lamala, bain lamata, I'm rabbi, pasuk, I'm zavis, I'm mutter. Shmuel says, what's the difference? If the tzeilus hagidim itself has not been affected, all that's happened is that the bone was broken. Now the bone is jutting out, right, so it's a severe fracture. But it's torn the muscle also. But the tzeilus hagidim isn't there. So why can't the animal be kosher? Going back again to... Huh? You're doing your work. You can hear where they're holding. Yeah. Right here. So either way, the animal is kosher. So Reb Nachman Taina Teshuva, well, what do you mean either way the animal is kosher? You told me that we cut off the bone. And what it means over here, of course, is that Alibu Teshuva, we're cutting off the bone mamish by the Tzemes Hagini. Where if that bone had been really cut instead of broken, the animal would have been traced. We're throwing it into the garbage pail, and you're going to eat it. So Yom Re'evim, he met a mutu ba'ashko mutaras. That Ravaka Baravuna didn't understand what Reb Nachman's problem was. What are you attacking, Shmuel? You could say the same thing to Rav. So fine, according to Rav, it means Lamata Minarkuva. So underneath the ankle. You say the same thing, it's Wada on Aver in the garbage pail, and now you're eating the behemoth. So Rav Nami Yomru Aver Mimena Mutal Bashfa Mutaret. The problem isn't the difficulty of Aver and Ashfa. The people are not stupid. A big deal. So if you had a broken foot, everybody knows the foot doesn't matter. So you cut off a foot, it's a big deal. The problem that Renato was tining was that's the problem. According to Shmuel, you're cutting off now the arkuva around the Tzemes Hagidim. And the end result is, had it been Lamaisa, this is an area that the animal lives from. If the Tzemes Hagidim had been cut, it would have been a treifa. So what are you telling me that people are going to see now? The whole piece, which is connected to Tzemes Hagidim, in the garbage pail, and you're eating it. That's my taina to Shmuel. According to Rav, it's not a problem. Because according to Rav, it's talking about Dafka, the area beneath the Tzemes Hagidim. You know what Rabbi said? I think I'm going to have to stop. It started with that much. It became a fluke. So now the two of them are happily working with each other. It's, what do you call it? Sorry, what is it called? If you do one thing for one thing, it hurts the other one. I take the cortisone, which helps the allergies, and I get the flu. That's not the immune reaction.
One of you cold and one of you not. You know, I get my little what's supposed to be. Rabbi Hutzer.